soul to soul and spirit to spirit. Greetings from Guardian Mountain. This week I happened to read a statement in one of the Infinite Way books that got me contemplating again. And this statement said that the spiritual life is not a getting life. The spiritual life is a giving life. And I think the idea that we can get something spiritually kind of sneaks up on us at times. We feel that we can practice spiritual principles and get supply. We can practice these principles and get health or companionship. And so we practice them. We try to remember that God's grace is our sufficiency. And we start looking. It's sort of like baking a cake and putting all the ingredients in the pan and putting the pan in the oven and then opening the door every 15 minutes or so to see how it's coming along. And by then we're focused on getting that cake. We do the same thing with these principles. We slowly, quietly become focused on what it is we're trying to demonstrate. And then when we've done that, we're off the track. And we've missed the boat. Because the spiritual life is a giving life. The spiritual life should be one lived with the attitude that God's grace is our sufficiency, and God's grace pours through me as a blessing. And that's just as much true of you as any spiritual being that has ever existed or that exists now. God's grace is our sufficiency. But God's grace does not function to improve your life. And that's a spiritual principle. God's grace does not function for you. Well, then why does my life get better when I relax into God's grace? And the reason is because when you relax your personal efforts, God's grace takes over and pours through you a blessing to the world, to everyone. When God's grace functions in you and through you, it is for everyone. Your life gets better because of the added things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. And so we are to seek first to allow that kingdom, to allow God's will to function through us. And what is God's will? Well, if you've ever had the experience of God, you know that when God is upon you, it appears as harmony, as abundance, as love, as every good and perfect gift. And so the experience of God is one of divine blessing. but it never was meant to bless only you. So we've got to lift our vision above a personal sense of life and come into the willingness to be used by God's grace. We cannot use God. We cannot demonstrate God for ourselves. Behind me, outside here, I have a garden, and there's tomatoes and green peppers and watermelons and cucumbers and green beans, carrots and onions and lettuce, broccoli, cauliflower, hot peppers. And I cannot pray for God to send rain on my garden, even if I need it, even if there hasn't been rain in 3 or 4 days, to pray, to try to demonstrate, to attempt to manifest rain on my garden is an erroneous approach. The recognition should be, and the realization should be, that God's grace is our sufficiency. God's grace is an efficiency everywhere. And so that includes my neighbor's garden. And then when the rain comes, it comes for everyone. And that is how God works. God's grace is our sufficiency. And so I cannot use spiritual principles for myself. And if I'm still looking for God's grace to bless me and my life, well, that's not going to work. I need to come up a little higher. I need to practice spiritual principles in a more mature manner. God's grace is our sufficiency. I cannot use God, but God can use me. God can use my vocal cords to make this talk. God can use my bank account to bless someone that is in need. God can use my hands to hug a abused child, my arms. God can use my driving ability to take someone on an errand that otherwise can't get there. God can use my managerial talent to help someone with their finances. And God can use your abilities, which of course God appears as your abilities, but not for you. God appears as your talents and your abilities to bless everyone, anyone. And then the bread that you have cast upon the waters comes back, heaped up, pressed down, and running over. And so, sooner or later, we must get out of the selfish, self-centered mode of practicing these principles and move into a selfless, loving, impersonal mode. And then the blessings that pour through us come back as the added things, and we find ourselves having a sufficiency of supply, harmonious relationships, and comfortable health and peace of mind. Paul tells us this in a different way. He tells us, those that sow to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and those that sow to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap that life everlasting. And in this way he is telling us that if we are attempting to demonstrate spiritual principles for our own personal advantage, then we are sowing to this person, to this personal life, to a flesh. And the results of that are that we will reap corruption. We will not be able to demonstrate harmony or peace or abundance. And if you are showing forth lack, then this may be the area where you're missing the mark. This may be the area where I'm missing the mark. If I'm showing forth lack, maybe I'm still trying to practice these principles for a personal life, in order to benefit a personal life. And Joel tells us this in another way. He says, we cannot add God to our humanhood. And Christ tells us we cannot add new wine to old wineskins. Spiritual principles will not work in a personal life. And maybe that's where we're missing the mark. If you still have a problem in your life, and you're attempting to practice these principles to improve your personal life, then you're missing the mark. And missing the mark is called sin. Now, sin is not something to feel guilty about, because when you miss the mark in archery, the only way to get better is to practice, until eventually you're able to hit the bullseye. You're able to hit the mark. And it's the same thing here. If we're missing the mark, the only way to get better is to practice. And so there's no need to have a sense of guilt about this. No, what we need to do is practice these principles in a new way. The Christ presence is impersonal. We read dozens of times that the Christ presence is omnipresent. It does not belong to any one individual. The Christ presence belongs to all life. And do we see that we cannot funnel that impersonal, infinite life into our personal life? Well, we can try, but as Paul told us, we're going to reap corruption. It's not going to work. We're going to have to come up higher and practice the Christ presence in an impersonal way. Now, when we apply that to our prayers and to our meditation, that's a little different method. Now we go into pray so that we may demonstrate the Christ for everyone, so that we may allow that presence to use us to bless all who come within range of our consciousness. We should get lost in being an instrument, a transparency for that Christ presence. We should not even be looking at our own personal life. We should not be looking at our finances, at our health, at our relationships. We should be standing on the principle that God's grace working through me is blessing all mankind, is blessing the entire world. And we should get lost in seeing, in being a witness, as a beholder, as that presence works through us. In our meditation, let us practice now becoming still with no sense of trying to channel God into my personal life. We're going to set that personal life aside. It's no longer our problem. None of it. And we're going to ask that God and God's grace flow through us and bless the world. We're going to ask that we be given opportunities throughout the day to be of service, to share what we have. And we can share a smile, we can share a kind word, we can share our finances if we have the 12 baskets full left over. We can share our time, our service. And that's what we're going to be focused on. God, fulfill yourself right here, through, in, and as me. And then don't look back. Don't check on that cake in the oven. Let it go. Focus on how you can be of service today. Just this day. And something wonderful will begin to happen. Because as you are getting lost in loving your neighbor, you will find that God's grace is our sufficiency, and that it returns to you heaped up, pressed down, and running over. And that somehow this person and every need is met without taking thought. Maybe we've wondered about that. Take no thought for your life? Well, how am I supposed to live? Well, the answer is take thought. But take thought for how you may be of service. What have you got to add to? Repeatedly, Joel has told us to start with what you have and begin to pour. Begin to pour out to this universe for free and for fun without any price tag. And so begin with what you have. And what do you have? If you have one statement of truth that you have practiced, that you know from inner realization and outer demonstration is the truth, you can pour that out. Not by printing it or talking about it, but by living it within your being. And if you have more than one statement that you have realized and demonstrated, then live with more than one through your day. But always stay focused on how you may best be of service. This is your day, Father. How may I best be of service? Make me a transparency. St. Francis had it right. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Which is the same as saying, let me sow spirit, let me sow God. Focus on that and get lost in it. And you will awaken to the truth that God's grace is our sufficiency. that God is love, that all of your needs are met in a way ye know not of, without taking thought for any personal sense of life, but entering into the joy of being a transparency for God. This is the spiritual way of life. This is the life of giving. And what of those who have not yet demonstrated, have not yet realized a spiritual principle? How do they approach this? Well, the answer is simple. What have you in your consciousness that you can pour out? Everyone, without exception, can silently, quietly pour out prayer. We can all pour out prayer without getting caught, without anyone knowing what we are doing. And yet, the Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly, means that God knows when you're pouring out love. God knows when you're pouring out prayer. And so if you have nothing of a material nature to give, and nothing of spiritual wisdom to give, you still have prayer. You can pray for everyone you come in contact with today, without letting anyone know what you are doing. If you go to the grocery store, and the people walking up and down the aisles and at the checkout counters, you can pray for them by realizing, by taking them into your consciousness and realizing that God's grace is our sufficiency. You can look at someone and realize within yourself quietly, all that the Father has is thine. You can recognize that thou art the child of God, that God is in his holy temple, which you are. A simple prayer like that. Take it with you throughout the day. When you go to the bank and the teller says, "May I help you?" and you pass over your deposit slip or your withdrawal slip, you can recognize the same thing about her or him. God's grace is your sufficiency. It only takes a moment. And by doing this, you are pouring out God's love. And without ever opening your mouth, without ever telling anyone what you are doing, the universe knows, omniscience knows, God knows, and the promise is, you shall be rewarded openly. And what you are pouring out may be in the form of prayer, but what will come back will be in the form that you need at this moment. Whether it is an opportunity, a form of transportation, some new form of housing, a friend or a friendship, the universe knows, and it shall reward you openly. So there is no one listening to this talk that cannot practice the spiritual way of living in an impersonal way. Not looking at your own life, but pouring out for others. This is one of the secrets that we must put away childish things, as Paul told us, and praying for my personal life is a rather immature look at spiritual living. Sooner or later, we must come up higher to an impersonal life. We must come into our Christ being. And have you ever known Christ as you read the scriptures? Have you ever known Christ to pray for himself? Always the Christ is giving, bestowing, loving, healing, doing for others, being a transparency for the Father's love. And this is what we are called to do. Oh, I know in years past we had problems and we came to the spiritual well so that we might dip our bucket in and draw forth water for ourselves. But it's time to come up higher. It's time to grow up and put away childish things and become the spiritual mature individual that you were meant to be. I suppose we all know how much we need God. I of myself am nothing, and you of yourself are nothing, and I am pretty sure you know that. And but with God, all things are possible. God will perform through you that which God appoints for you to do. The Father within will do the works. And so we need God, and we know that. We recognize that. We realize that. But did you know that God also needs you? That you are important? God requires a consciousness through which God can manifest and flow out to the world. God requires a transparency. And so God requires you and your consciousness. You, when you consciously practice being an instrument for God's grace, are doing, are living as God created you to live. And in that oneness, God is well pleased. This is my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. If you love God with all your mind, heart, and soul, then you want to please your Father. And this you do as you come into the impersonal life and practice spiritual principles with your entire being focused on what you have to give. And then any sense of getting is dissolved. And you marvel as all your needs are met, with 12 baskets full left over. And it is really a wonderful relationship. You really do have a loving Father. And when you begin to sense that oneness as God flows through you, then you know you are home. You are home in the bosom of your Father, and your Father dwells at the center of you, and you too are one. Now, I know that some of us may suffer from fear, or from many fears. And yet this simple way of living, which we have just outlined, removes all sense of fear. We have been told perfect love casts out all fear. And that means we should not wait around until we are free from fear before we begin living this way. No, that's backwards. Even if we are suffering from fear, we begin focusing on and we begin meditating on and acting on being an instrument for God's grace, on giving, being a channel, being an opening through which God can flow and God's love can flow. And that love working through us, even while fearful, that love will dissolve your fear. I'm telling you that with a concerted effort, you will look back and realize suddenly, wow, I haven't felt afraid, I haven't felt any fear for days or weeks. And you will realize that perfect love, that is God's grace flowing through you, has cast out that fear. And there's no longer a sense of fear. It has been replaced by a sense of completeness. Perfect love will cast out all of your fear. But we do not wait around for the fear to leave before we live this principle. No, we practice the principle in spite of the fear and discover that God's grace dissolves that fear. Isn't it really wonderful? Every piece has been planned. God has designed a perfect way of living. And it is the way of impersonal giving and discovering that the added things really do come, really do appear. And one other note about this way of living. If you can find a way to add to life, to pour out a blessing, and do it anonymously, do it without anyone finding out who did it, your blessings will be multiplied. It seems to have greater power the more secret, the more silent it is. And so if you can do something for someone, or for several someones, and not get found out, and not accidentally tell someone what you are doing, if you can keep it totally secret, it really will be shouted from the housetops. That is, divine harmony, divine blessing, divine love will find you. It will find you and show up in miraculous ways, wondrous ways. And people will wonder, why are all these good things happening to that person? And you will get a little smile and say, thank you, Father. And so it's more powerful the more secret you keep it. This is a spiritual underground. where you are loving, blessing, being a transparency for God's grace to flow. And no one knows it except for you and God. And yet we will all see the results as the added things are multiplied and come into your life. This may be how the original concept of Santa Claus started, because Santa Claus is supposed to come when we're not watching, sneak down our chimney and leave gifts. And maybe that's a legend that developed from someone that knew how to practice these principles. Maybe Saint Nicholas told this, or someone told it about him. But that's how this works. When you are not focused on your life, when you have dropped that personal sense and come up higher into an impersonal giving, there is a divine presence that comes as a thief in the night and leaves gifts. And you discover the abundant living. That presence, that same presence we're talking about, has come that you might have life and life more abundantly. It has come that they might have life and life more abundantly. It has come that the entire world might have life and life more abundantly. And it all begins with your making the decision that you are not going to live a personal sense of life or pray for a personal sense of life. You're going to come into your impersonal inheritance and pray in an impersonal way, that you might be a transparency for God's love to flow, for God's grace to flow. And you shall be blessed indeed, as a thief in the night, as a blessing you didn't even think of. And after you have practiced this for a while, it becomes your very being. You become the impersonal love itself. There is no place where the impersonal love of God leaves off and you begin. Because now the impersonal love is you, in your inner life and in your outer life. I and the Father are one in experience. And this is the way, this is the infinite way. And this is what has come from reading that simple statement, that the spiritual life is not a getting life. The spiritual life is a giving life. Let us agree together here this morning, or this evening, wherever you are, that we are going to put away childish things, accept our divine responsibility, that is our divinity, and live as God created us to live. One with the Father. Beholders, as God's grace, God's love flows right up in, through, and as our very being. Let us come into our inheritance at last, as joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus was and is simply someone that discovered how to live this impersonal life. And when you discover how to live this impersonal life and begin doing it, then you are Christ, whatever your name is. You are Christ Dennis, or Christ Sarah, or Christ Dorothy, or Christ Helen, or Christ Tom, or Christ Peter, or Christ Matt. And you are joint heirs with your brother, Christ Jesus. Because Christ means the living presence flowing through consciousness as the divine giver. Let us begin to live this now, keeping our finger on our lips, not telling anyone what we are doing, so that it can grow in strength. Let us come into that peace. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth I unto you. Now we understand that. We come into a sense of peace when we realize that the Father is pleased because we are a transparency for the Father's grace to flow. We are giving to the universe. We do not come into a sense of peace as the world giveth, that is, looking at our personal lives and what we can get. We come into a sense of peace by living a spiritual way of life in which we are transparencies for the divine presence, power, and kingdom of God to appear on earth as our individual experience. Now, quietly, secretly, be a blessing, and all of the wondrous and wonderful things shall be added unto you. Because God's grace is our sufficiency forever.